checking them out. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited.
You're one of a kind.
Which one?
You.
What did I do?
You turned your mic on.
I turned it on
and then got into a 9-round wrestling match with it. Leg dropped it, kicked it, and then threw it across the floor.
Why is it so sensitive?
Because people are listening.
I can't win on this show. I swear to God. I thought I was doing fine. I'm like, I'll turn it on early so I'm prepared.
Yeah.
Me and you have been a little distracted this week
with
our listening skills.
Yep, hasn't been great.
And I'm getting yelled at. Are you in a bad mood today for some reason?
I was in a great mood until you...
You want to start over?
I mean, he's got a point. Homer used to do that all the time.
It drives me nuts.
Why, could you hear that? Over.
Yeah, because you're like, when you're fumbling with the mic like that, yeah. Like so if you want to adjust it, turn it off, adjust it,
turn it back on. Let me tell you this one thing, okay?
Okay.
And I do it often. If I back away from the microphone about a foot and do my thing with my stomach, you shouldn't be able to hear it.
I mean, I like the fact, so the sensitivity of the microphone typically means it's going to be a better microphone. Like, it's a higher quality, and I want to have that high, like, I am thankful, because I have worked here long enough, that we didn't have microphones this good. When we used to be across the street, pal, heck, I'm sure you
remember
being out at the trailer in Waukesha behind the Walmart.
That's where I started.
And
2025?
Yeah.
22 years ago, 23 years ago. But these things should have motion detectors in them. No, really. They
motion
should.
Motion detectors?
Yes. Because if I back off of a foot, it should be like, cuts off. And then you come back in, and then it turns back on.
You know these have like a threshold where below a certain volume, it won't pick up the noise because that would be catching too much ambient sound. So there is technology inside of them, but wrestling it, slamming it over your head, throwing it against the wall is going to get picked up.
So you're saying my ears are more advanced than this microphone? Because my daughter used to snore at a frequency that I could not hear. Because when she was young, she used to sleep in the room.
Okay.
And she would snore, and I'd be like, I cannot hear.
But.
No, I'm being serious.
I know you're not. I know you are. I know you're being very serious. And I'm just trying to wrap my head around what the hell just happened.
Speaking of, we played in Dallas. This was the dumbest thing ever. Stupid. Dumb. I think the Packers sometimes just waste money. So you guys all know we used to get beat in Dallas quite a bit, right?
Yeah, that's how your seasons ended 3 straight years.
So they developed these earpieces that was supposed to have technology. This is 1993, right?
Mm-hmm.
The head technology that could pick up the frequency of Brett's voice, and we were supposed to be able to hear better because it was so loud in Dallas. The problem was this. Old linemen just had to wear one of them depending on what side of the line they were on, right?
Okay, so like if you're on the right side of the line, it's left ear, left side
Correct.
Of the line, right ear, because Brett's
I had to wear two.
Well, because you had to go to either side.
Because I'm on both sides.
Yeah.
And the things were the biggest bunch of crap. I don't know if the linemen left them in, but I played probably 2 series with them because it was annoying and took them out. And those things cost, at the time, like $3,000 a pair.
I mean, shouldn't you be excited about that, though? The fact that
Aren't you reaching?
Sure, but I think you should have been grateful that they were willing to spend that money, because when you arrived in Green Bay in 1992, they were cheaper and tighter than 2 coats of paint.
Yes.
And then, now, just a year or two later, they're willing to spend $3,000 on things that don't work. I think that's a sign of progress.
I'd rather take the $3,000 and upgrade the Wish sandwiches that we were getting back then. 2 pieces of bread, and I wish I had some meat in the middle.
The funny thing about getting scammed that way, because let's be honest, that's what it was, is...
Yes, totally.
Aside from like any electronic ability in those plugs, what they said they could do was not possible. You can't just with like a plug deafen one sound and then hear the others that you want to hear. That's not how sounds work.
Let me ask you this, though. This is real weird. Whenever I, you know, the hand vacs, the zzzz, those, whenever I run those things, mm-hmm. my eardrums rattle.
Look, man, you're the doctor, man.
Like, no, they rattle.
You're the doctor. You tell
what
me.
What do you mean they rattle?
They rattle. So I turn it on, and my eardrums will go, blah, 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 and then I turn it off.
And everything's fine.
Yes. So sometimes I play with it. I'm like, is it really the dust vac?
And you just like fire.
Yeah. I swear to God, it's the weirdest thing ever. Yeah.
You are, by far, the most fascinating human I know.
I know, but I guarantee I'm not the only one out there that this happens to. There's no way.
Do you think it's NFL related? Do you think it's concussion related? Do you think it's related to having to wear for two series in 1993 crappy earplugs?
I don't know.
Are you comparing this to, like, you know, in the car when one window's open and it creates
yes.
the...
exact same sound.
Okay. Because that's what I was thinking. It has to be a difference in pressure that's creating that.
Yeah.
To make that sort of sound.
It is... Josh, you nailed it.
I hate that,
it
Josh.
It is that. It's exactly that.
That is one of my least favorite things.
It's awful.
If you open like a one back window
yes,
or something.
Yes. Text if you have the same problem as me to normalize me, please,
a
little bit.
The car was talking text line, 800-990-3776. Liz is more.
What are we asking? Do your ears rattle when you use the hand dryer?
Yeah.
Like, anything. I think at this point, do your ears rattle when you use any sort of appliance? Like, I don't think we want to specifically say the hand vac, right?
Yeah.
The little dust buster. I don't think we want to limit it to that. Chewy would feel normal if there's any electronic appliance
yes.
that you use
yes.
that makes your ears
so,
rattle.
So I'm clear on what yours is. You're talking about a dust buster. At first, I thought you were talking about in the bathroom, the hand dryer.
No. It's the suck up thing. You know, what are those things called?
Yeah, it's a dust buster.
But you know what it's like? And this is what I equate it to. You know when you scratch a dog a certain way and he'll turn his head and he'll just do that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what it's like.
Yeah, the spot.
And then
yeah.
you
Animal
stop
spot.
And he goes back to normal.
Bubba's spot is right side of the neck.
Yeah. Huh?
Just,
yeah.
Yeah. And it, yeah.
Just loves it.
I understood more the hand dryer than I do the handheld vac.
Now it's more confusing
yes.
for you.
Yeah.
I just, look, does any of it make sense, Josh? No. I just, you know, I smile and I go through it. Try to dig deeper. See if we can actually get to a solution to the problem.
So you guys have nothing like this in your life?
Like outside of the window that Josh brought up.
Yeah, but everyone has that.
I mean, my ears pop a lot even when I'm like not even really changing that much elevation. Like going from... the Mequonago Waukesha area into Milwaukee, my ears pop every single time.
Yeah, you know how you fix that? A Q-tip. Clean your ears.
yeah.
Not
Josh.
How that works.
Listen to your doctor.
That's another thing. God, guys were so stupid back in the day because we would have, you know, the long surgical Q-tips, the
you
wooden ones?
You were jamming them down your ears?
Guys would forget that they were in their ear, and this happened like more than once.
Okay, wait.
I forgot they were in their ear.
So you're telling me, because when I use a Q-tip, clean the ear,
yeah,
clean the other ear, and then I throw it away.
No, we multitask. We got a lot of stuff going on.
But what do you mean? But,
yeah. No, you don't.
You sure? Like put some mouthwash in while you're cleaning your ear. That's how you multitask.
No.
Putting the Q-tip in your ear and just leaving it there isn't doing anything.
Because guys would clip their nails and forget it's in, and then they'd walk into the door, and then they'd pop their eardrum, and it would bleed. I swear to God, in all my years up there, that happened twice.
Aren't Q-tips no longer the like prescribed ideal for ear cleaning because a lot of times you end up just jamming the earwax further into your ear canal?
Correct.
So how are you supposed to clean them?
I think you're supposed to like not jam it in your ear. You're supposed to kind of work around the edges, do a little of that work instead of just the, I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Think about the process. There's something there and you put a Q-tip in, you're just going to push it further in.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
You guys have ear hair?
I mean, I'm assuming. I don't know. I don't really look.
Well, don't you look in the mirror and see if you got hair growing out of your
ear? I don't have a noticeable amount.
Yes.
All right, I'm there.
I feel like if I, yes. Yeah, I'm not looking, but I'm guessing that if it's there, I would start to notice.
Human, yeah.
Yeah, but yours is hidden by your beard. No, it is because people are so distracted by the beard. Like me, I'm always clean shaven.
You got a little 5 o'clock shadow today.
What day is it?
Oh, it's It's cardio day. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
I hate that I know your workout schedule.
Yeah. But
I don't know what
today I showered.
Shaving and workout has
because he doesn't shower before he comes in.
But I did today because my wife is in Dallas for the week. So I usually don't. I give her a break on a Wednesday because I'm in the shower at 10 till 5.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
why am I the one describing to Josh, like, oh, it's Wednesday. He doesn't shower before he comes in the show.
Yeah. And I usually have.
I usually have the hat on. Yeah. Usually either, obviously, when it's colder, the winter hat, or he'll have the backwards hat on.
Because exactly.
He doesn't do anything with the hair because he didn't shower.
As somebody who's gotten to know your habits better, certainly not as well as Gabe, are you telling me you will shower full clean and then put on old clothes that you've worn before?
Just the shorts are old.
Doesn't that cancel off the shower?
And the socks. And the underwear I wore last night. Because you're going to get them all smelly and dirty anyway, so why put a new pair on? See, you guys don't get it.
How many showers?
You don't get
it. Wait.
You don't get it. Within a year, you know how many loads of laundry I'm doing less because I do this?
I'm helping out the environment.
How many times do you shower?
She likes BO. It's weird. No, I'm...
That's why the marriage works.
Swear to God. That is a weird... Is that a fetish?
I mean, I don't want to label it as that.
Okay.
I think you can. I'm not going to.
Okay.
How many showers do you take a day? Two?
Two.
Okay.
Two.
Because you'll shower sometimes three?
Florida, it's substituted by the pool. So then you subtract
salt water, right? That's how it comes.
Okay, so sometimes you won't shower after your workout because you'll just jump in the pool.
Correct. Don't act like you've never done that. It's called a pull-a shower.
Yeah, well, look, if I had a pool.
Isn't that showering in the sink? you hit the important spots and you keep it moving?
But I think you're fine. I mean, it's salt water. It's a salt water pool. Salt water's got to kill. It's good for your cuts. No, if you have a cut and you go in the salt water constantly, it heals it quicker.
Kind of heals it up for you.
You guys are weird.
You're a fascinating man.
We're weird.
A couple of things. Dave from Aaron on the Carpool's Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Definitely half deaf after 20 years in the diesel repair industry and selective hearing after 12 years of marriage. Lasagna saying, as far as the Q-tips, lasagna in Milwaukee, that's why you spin and push.
Spin and push.
Yeah, so that's why she's saying you spin and push. So you kind of keep
a drill bit.
Yeah, kind of doing that spin to try to get as much as you can when you're using the Q-tip, cleaning the ear.
Okay.
Chef Head saying, I wish I could hear rattling. I have the opposite effect. Working in kitchens, I have the wax buildup. So he's got the opposite effect. He can't hear as much.
Okay.
But it doesn't seem like anybody has the rattling when they're using certain appliances.
Really?
But maybe, you know, hey, we can continue to ask, and hopefully somebody texts in at some point, 800-990-3776, on that carbless talk and text line. We're stretched out. We're warmed up. Plenty of things to dive into yesterday. All-Star game was fun. Miz got to pitch. And apparently everybody treated him well. We dive into that coming up next after I tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Love seeing Gina from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin yesterday at our ESPN Milwaukee golf outing. And you need to go check out the Pella Experience Center. Everybody was there last week. It was fantastic from ESPN Milwaukee. Because at the Pella Experience Center, you can see, feel, open, close, compare dozens of window and door options. So many customizable options, great prices. You know, whatever your budget is, Pella's going to have something for you. Stop by soon if you order before July 31st. You get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions apply. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule the free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. When you use Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, tell them that Gabe Neitzel sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Go ahead. Is it against the law to be a moron or not?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
All-Star game was fun last night. Hope everybody had a good time watching it. Ended up going late. Game was tied after nine innings. Had to be decided in a home run derby style. Pick three guys. Everybody gets three swings, and how many home runs you get, that's how you win.
That's a perfect way to end one of those, isn't it?
Oh, and Kyle Schwarber put on a show.
Yeah.
The National League only needed two guys because Schwarber hit three home runs with his three swings. Yeah. Going down on a knee for the last one and then pointing at it as it's flying out of the ballpark is objectively
strange. He might be the best softball player that plays baseball in the history of the world.
Yep.
Who's he playing for now?
Phillies.
He was with the Sox.
For a little bit.
Yeah.
He kind of bounced around there for a little while.
You know who I feel bad for? And he's really, really good.
Who's that?
Skeens.
Yeah.
And imagine being stuck on that team, being as good as you are, just spinning your wheels. That's got to be frustrating.
Well, they showed his stats as he's warming up because Paul Skeens started for the National League. You know, and you know, he's first in ERA and second in WHIP. And they're putting up all these stats where he's literally like first or second in just about everything. I think he's fourth in strikeouts. And then at the very bottom, in very tiny print, record 4-8.
Yeah. Isn't that terrible?
You're the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah. And then another observation. Is Shohei the best baseball player in the last 40 years? He is so good.
Because of his ability to being that good of a hitter and that good of a pitcher.
Yes.
I mean, probably. You know, you look at the numbers that Aaron Judge has put up offensively, and that's great. But then you see Shohei go out there and throw 100 miles an hour and be a dominant pitcher.
It's like playing offense and defense in football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, because usually in college, they make you pick. Right? Obviously,
yeah.
Travis Hunter is going to be trying to do it in the NFL, and I think that's fascinating to watch and gives you a reason to maybe tune into a Thursday night game that the Jags are playing.
Yeah.
But usually in college, they make you pick. All right, you got to be a pitcher, you hit it, you can't be both.
And then how's the Miz do? Josh, did you watch? No, you were in bed.
I was sleeping by that
time.
Yeah,
you were.
So there was a report out there that he was going to pitch in the seventh. He ended up pitching in the eighth.
Okay.
So, you know, pitched a little bit later, but he pitched great. Didn't get a strikeout, but he threw 18 pitches. Nine of them were 100 miles an hour plus. Everybody was, like, guffawing over, like, him throwing 102.3 and then throwing a 97-mile-an-hour slider.
Yeah, the 98.1 slider, Chewy, the rest of both benches looked at each other and were laughing.
Really?
Like, what was that?
So totally belonged.
Oh, 100%.
Totally belonged.
100%. Like, so there was a piece at ESPN.com, and Jeff Passan, we played that sound yesterday. Passan has been, I think, pretty supportive of Miz playing, like, while being understanding of the entire situation, but saying, like, look at this guy. He's a future star.
Yeah.
In a piece they had on ESPN.com today, like, his biggest takeaway was the Miz and how the Miz absolutely belonged. And then he was talked to in the middle of the game. Ken Rosenthal went up to him, asked him some questions about how his teammates treated him, because obviously not everybody was happy that he was selected, but it seemed like everybody on the National League team treated Miz well.
As you know, some players were upset by the fact that you were selected, but how were you treated by the players on your team?
Oh, yeah, awesome. I mean, they were all so happy for me, and, you know, it was awesome.
And the National League All-Stars, how do they treat you?
They're good. They're really good, yeah. They're awesome. You know, the guys, they're all happy for me, so.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. Which you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think, again, you described the situation with Brent Jones.
Mm-hmm.
When he thought you should not have been a Pro Bowl selection ahead of him. And then he ended up being a replacement for Jay Novacek.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, he apologized to you. It's funny how people realize once they get face to face someone, like, oh man, maybe I messed up.
Yeah.
Maybe I went a little too strong to the hoop.
I mean, everyone has a bad day, and everyone says stupid things with their bad day. So you give him a pass. Yeah.
You can have your moral stance, and I think we'd all agree that those guys were more deserving. When you add the context,
oh yeah,
it falls apart.
100%.
And then you see the kid in front of you who's happy to be there, being very nice, and like amazed by it, and it all kind of goes away. You look around and go, yeah, that's pretty cool for this kid, when I remove all the other stuff that bothered me.
That being said, I really hope Miz starts. They play the Phillies. Mm-hmm. It's a really weird series. So they start on Labor Day Monday is the first game of the series. And then it has an off date in the middle of the series that Tuesday. And then they close it out Wednesday, Thursday. But I'm hoping Miz...
Home or away?
Home.
Oh.
So they get off a weird off day in the middle of a series after Labor Day. But so what I'm hoping for is Miz gets to pitch one of those games and just, you know, shoves against Realmuto. And like, I'm more like Nick Castellanos comparing it to the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah. That's
like, guess what, bud? Nobody for the Bananas throws 102 past you.
No. Question for you, though.
Yep.
Why are so many good pitchers throwing over 100? This seems like something new.
Yeah, I mean, we've been kind of slowly building towards this, I think.
Is it all mechanics?
I think part of it's mechanics. I think in being smarter and knowing how to optimize everybody's body type, just knowing more. Like, the story I was always told, whether it's true or not. So Jordan Zimmerman was a pitcher, and he signed over $100 million contract in the big leagues, played for the Tigers and played for the Nationals. But he was in the WIAC when I was. He was pitching for Stevens Point. And like, he was a good D3 pitcher, like threw in the upper 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like, his mechanics were kind of off and didn't really use his legs. And they taught him how to use legs at Stevens Point. Next thing you knew, he was throwing 95, 96.
Okay.
And he left a Division III school early to become a second round draft pick.
I also think it's, I mean, how long were the minute miles and all that? Like, sports just keep evolving in nature, and we keep thinking there's never going to be this thing that happens, and then it keeps happening and it keeps progressing. Like, there's obviously factors in training and working and getting more expertise and time at it, but I also think, like, it's just the general nature of how things go. People are throwing harder, running faster. Like, you Usain Bolt, you would have been like, never is going to exist. The human body can't do it. And then he does it. And
well,
then,
especially like his body type.
Yes.
Like, being as tall as he is, like, oh, he can't be the fastest man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then he was the fastest man in the world smiling because he was that much faster than everybody else.
Smacking his chest.
As he's crossing the finish line.
But the body types of NFL players are so much different than when I played. And it's not that they're bigger. They're actually not bigger. We were bigger, but we were more plow horse, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Now they're like long, lean, muscular. They're not as strong as we were. It's just a different body type.
Well, because there were more specialized workouts by the time like you were in the NFL.
Yes.
But like, I wasn't alive in the 70s and 80s, you know, except for the late 80s, born in 86. But like, I'm guessing back in the 70s, there weren't really specialized workouts. But everybody did stuff, and then, as you know, as more people dive in and put more money in, like, specialized workouts to have functional strength for the actual sport you're playing.
But if you look at the size, take the lineman, for example. In the 80s, you know, guards were 280.
Yeah.
Tackles were maybe 290, 295. Our sizes are exactly the same as players today. It's just the body types are so much different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because it's more functional strength. Like, the first time I saw David Bakhtiari, I thought he was small. Like, this guy plays. This is one of the best left tackles in football.
Yeah.
You know, when you meet him and see him, like, without the pads, without being on the football field, and he just had the functional strength, the foot speed to do everything that he needed to do.
Here's an apt comparison. Standing next to Chewy feels a lot different than standing next to Tucker Kraft.
True story.
Yeah, just a total different body type.
100% true story.
And then you see Tucker Kraft go, and you go, that guy's an animal freak show out there.
Yeah.
But when you compare your two sizes and, like, your build, it's just nowhere near the same.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Very weird.
We've got some questions that we want to ask Adam Schefter as we get closer and closer to training camp. We will do that coming up next, but I do want to tell you about my friends over at Ewald Automotive. If you're shopping for a pre-owned vehicle, pay close attention to Ewald's 72-hour used car sell-off. Starts this Thursday through Saturday only, and everything must go. All makes and models with price ranges and payments starting at just $99 a month. $99 a month. They're talking hundreds of certified and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs from your favorite brand. And you know you're getting it from Ewald, so you know it's something you can trust. Get more for your money during Ewald's 72-hour used car sell-off. It starts Thursday, goes through Saturday at every Ewald location. Find out more at ewaldauto.com.
everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL Insider, Adam Schefter.
I would just say that right now I think all options are on the table. I think that they went through that trade thing and they talked to teams, and it's not like those talks are shut down, but they didn't go anywhere. And when they don't go anywhere, it opens up the possibility that he could be back.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island. Also brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Real Estate Services, the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. Get started today at wendorfteam.firstweber.com.
I love Wednesday, especially when we're getting this close to the NFL season. But also, we have the last golf major, so we got to talk to our guy, Adam Schefter, about that as well. Good morning, Schefty. What's going on, bud?
Good morning, Gabe and Chewy. What's going on, man?
Not much. What are you keeping your eye on at this point as we get this close to training camp?
Well, I think there's so many unresolved issues still that we have to figure out, right? You have one unsigned first-round draft pick in Cincinnati, Shamar Stewart. You've got 30 of the 32 second-round draft picks that haven't signed. You've got a lot of disgruntled players from Terry McLaurin to T.J. Watt to Trey Hendrickson to Juwan Jennings in San Francisco. So you got a number of those issues. You have Najee Harris showing up yesterday for the Chargers, and we wait to see how much damage he did to his eye and when he'll be able to play due to the fireworks incident on July 4th that left another one of his friends in real bad shape. Tragic situation. All these things that are just like, here we go. They're the storylines and the drama that start out and the storylines shift and they go a different direction, and that's what the NFL season's about.
So, Adam, Shamar Stewart goes back to Texas A&M, is starting to work out there. There's rumors that he might go back and play. How does this work? If he went back and played for him, re-enters the draft, does Cincinnati lose his rights?
He can't go back and play for Texas A&M.
Why? Because I thought it's legal to have agents now, and I didn't think that was a big deal. That's not how it works?
No, I think once you declare for the draft, you forego any remaining college eligibility. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Now,
given the NCAA's track record in lawsuits recently, if that got challenged legally, I don't know how much that would end up holding up.
Well, that's a different day. You might be right. I'm not smart enough legally to know that, but I know that if he doesn't play at all this year, that he would be re-eligible for the draft next year. I can't speak to the college eligibility part of it. I don't know that. But I know that they have until the draft next year to sign. They have his rights for one draft year.
Oh,
has this ever, do you know if this has ever happened? If this actually comes to fruition, because we have to wait and see
if it has,
just sitting out for a year and then being redrafted.
Well, I'm trying to think of Bo Jackson on how that went down, Adam, because I know he told Tampa not to draft him, but I thought he went and played baseball, and I'm not sure.
He also got drafted, I think. Didn't he get drafted by a UFL team or their
NFL? Yeah. That's the only thing I can remember, yeah.
I don't know off the top of my head anybody that's ever done it. And that's why I'm saying, like, it's July 16th.
Yeah, I know.
There used to be holdout draft picks that went into the I don't think there's anything to talk about here for a while. Like, but we could talk about it. It's so premature.
Yeah, I agree. Does it eventually get done? Him and Hendrickson, you think?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
Well, I mean,
Trey Hendrickson, that's stickier because they've been trying to get that done for the better part of two off seasons, and it hasn't gotten done. Right?
Yeah.
So that one's a little dicey to me. Now, I'd like to think that eventually it will get done. He's been a great enough player, means enough to the franchise, but it hasn't. So I don't know what's going to happen there.
I mean, he's an impactful player enough, because I see the Juwan Jennings thing the other day, Adam, and I'm thinking, you had a nice season last year, But I don't know if anybody's giving up that much for Juwan Jennings heading into camp because your team's pretty much set. You like what you have. Now, if you have an injury, that's obviously different. But Trey Hendrickson, I look at as, well, he could still get a good value the way that Khalil Mack did when he went to the Bears because that happened so close to the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. The problem is there going to be a team that's willing to compensate Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals? And I think when Khalil Mack was traded, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was like in his mid-20s.
Yeah, he
Trey
was.
Hendrickson, right? And Trey Hendrickson is 30. Now, there may be a team out there that feels like Trey Hendrickson is the final piece because he's somebody you'd want on your team and in your locker room. But I don't know that somebody's going to make it enticing enough for the Bengals on September 1st to go trade him. But again, let's see how the summer progresses. Let's see if he shows up for training camp. Let's see if they make any you started by asking me what storylines I'm asking or I'm interested in following. These are all the things. And they just kind of take on a life of their own and they work themselves out for better or worse.
When I take a look at the Packers, they have a couple of guys who could potentially decide not to. Well, I think they're going to show up, but I don't think they may or may not practice. One is Zach Tom, a rookie, maybe looking to get a new deal as a right tackle. And the other is Elgton Jenkins, who landed on the list of top 10 interior linemen over at ESPN.com. As he changes from guard to center, he wants some money guaranteed. Not necessarily a new contract, just guaranteed on his last 2 years since he's changing positions, and guards make more. Well, the Chiefs just signed their right guard, Trey Smith, to a 4-year, $94 million contract. Do you think that would really start to change things for the Packers and Elgton Jenkins if Jenkins goes, oh, that's what guards are making now and I'm going to center? How does that affect other teams in the league with Trey Smith getting that type of a number?
Well, it's the most money that any guard has ever gotten. And I just think that what's going on there is what goes on in every position. Sauce Gardner became the highest paid cornerback. Garrett Wilson became the fifth highest paid wide receiver. Terry McLaurin saying, don't I deserve more than Garrett Wilson? Like, deals get done, and guys who are looking for new deals hold themselves up as models of comparison on those deals. It's kind of the way that NFL business works. It's not anything unusual. I'm sure Elgton Jenkins is going to refer to that deal. I don't know whether he's going to use that to resist the move to center, but he absolutely can say, hey, this guy got 4 years, $94 million, 70 guaranteed. What am I worth? Like, he could do that, and then they can say, yeah, well, Trey Smith is a part of Super Bowl champion, and you haven't done that. Like, we could do that, too. Like, everybody's going to do what they do in these negotiations, bottom line. I don't know how it's going to work out with him, though.
Adam, a lot of media outlets, Sports Illustrated, Yard Barker, Heavy Sports, Last Word on Sports, are writing about Romeo Doubs being traded. Are you hearing anything out there from teams?
No, I have not heard that specifically. What happens is usually every summer you get a couple of weeks into camp and teams assess their rosters and they see where they're deep. And all of a sudden GMs are calling GMs like, hey, we might have an extra wide receiver. We might have an extra cornerback or whatever it may be. Now, I think if you look at the Packers right now today and you just look at the wide receiver position to figure out, okay, well, who are they going to keep and who are they going to get rid of? They seem to have a surplus of wide receivers, right? Because look at it. We've got Romeo Doubs. We've got Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed, Savion Williams. Is going to you'd have to figure he's going to make it, right? Was he a third round pick?
Yeah.
You're not cutting a third round pick. You got Christian Watson. Now, I don't know if he's going to be healthy. He might start the season on PUP, I guess. Like, that's going to be a possibility. Dontavian Wicks, Malik Keith,
Bo Melton.
Mecole Hardman signed. Right, like, Bo Melton.
Yeah.
I think they're maybe moving positions with him, right? Or didn't I read that?
Yeah. I think they like him as a special team and are just trying to figure out ways to keep him on the roster.
Okay. So, by the way, so how many wide receivers are you going to keep? Six?
They've done seven in the past, but not very often.
Probably seven with Watson on pup.
Okay, so there we go. That's seven, right? So then if you just do the math, then not everybody can make it. And by the way, like I don't know. Do they like Cornelius Johnson? I was checking into my hotel there. He was in the lobby. I didn't realize he was on the practice squad. They kept him on the practice squad all year. He was pretty good at Michigan. Mm-hmm. Like, does he develop? So if one of these guys develops, that absolutely could make somebody expendable. And we know that there were issues with Romeo Doubs last year. So I think we're kind of adding things up in a numbers game. And when these people speculate on it, you can say, okay, well, I can see where that is. Now, the other thing I could say is, and I don't know how it's going to go. Maybe Romeo Doubs shows up. He's a model citizen. He's lighting up. And they're like, we're not trading this guy. You know, maybe we'll move on from somebody else.
Talking with Adam Schefter, as we do each and every Wednesday. And for those who don't know, Adam Schefter loves golf. How excited do you get for the Open Championship being the first thing on your television when you turn it on tomorrow?
Well, I'm sure I'll wake up in the middle of the night. What I try not to do is, like, you know, I'll pick my guy in my pool this week. And that'll be the guy that I'm kind of obsessed with following. I try, like last week I had Tommy Fleetwood in the Genesis Open. It was disappointing. And I woke up in the middle of the night. I'm like, I don't want to put it on. Because once I put it on, that's it. I'll be up and I'll be all worked up. So I just want to try to sleep and I'll wake up. But yeah, I love it. It's great drama. You know, there have been some unbelievable tournaments this year. And I do. Who do you like this week? Gabe?
I ended up going with Victor Hovland. I think even though he has been saying, like, oh, I don't feel comfortable, and like he has played really well in the majors. Like, he has had top 25 finishes in every major. I just feel that he is going to break through at some point. I mean, the Open is just so hard because, like, the weather can turn so quickly, and then all of a sudden you're on the wrong side of the draw. So it's just, to me, it's the hardest one to try to pick out who you think is eventually going to be the winner.
Ludwig? Åberg?
Yeah.
Åberg? Yeah, I can see that.
Who do you have on your short list?
Me?
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy, Robert McIntyre, Shane Lowry.
Yeah.
Well, Lowry won there in 19.
Yep.
Yeah. Adam,
and
did
Rory
you
played well last
did
week.
You see what Scheffler said about winning?
How it that is was it the coolest.
Yeah, what was your take on that?
I think you could apply it to any athlete in any sport, and I think you could apply it to most professions. You know, there was an element I understood what he was talking about. You know, like, I think it's just for people in general.
I agree. I always say, Adam, if my life is defined by the 9 years I spent in Green Bay, then I really haven't done much with my life.
Yeah, well, I spent 35 years doing this, Chewy, so
yeah.
My life is
well, that's a little more.
What is that thing for you, Adam? Because he talked, you know, for those who didn't hear the clip, how long is it, Joshy?
I've got a minute 46 here. We can do about 30 and you can get the idea.
All right,
and
just then, for those who haven't heard it, then I want to ask Adam a quick follow-up on it.
You know, I think it's kind of funny. I think, you know, I think I said something after the Byron this year about, like, it feels like you work your whole life to celebrate winning a tournament for like a few minutes. It only lasts a few minutes, that kind of euphoric feeling. And I, like, to win the Byron Nelson Championship at home, I literally worked my entire life to become good at golf, to have an opportunity to win that tournament. And you win it, you celebrate, get to hug my family, my sister's there. It's such an amazing moment. And then it's like, okay, now what are we going to eat for dinner? You know, life goes on. Is it great to be able to win tournaments and to accomplish the things I have in the game of golf? Yeah. I mean, it brings tears to my eyes just to think about, because it's literally worked my entire life to become good at this sport, and to have that kind of sense of accomplishment, I think is a pretty cool feeling. You know, to get to live out your dreams is very special. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not out here to inspire the next generation of golfers. I'm not here to inspire somebody else to be the best player in the world, because what's the point?
You know? So again, what is that feeling for you, Adam, when you get to break a huge story? Like, there's a sense of, hey, I was able to get that story out there, but then there's probably another story coming right behind it. What is that thing for you?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think just the entire free agent week is such a long, hard week that if you get through the week in a good, successful way and you feel good about the work that you've done, you know, I don't view it ever as like one individual story. Like, I just think it's more a body of work. And so to me, it's like getting through that week. You know, I almost feel like also it's getting through the draft. Like you get through the draft, that's when I mark the end of my year. It's not like a student at the end of the school year. You look back, you took your test, you took your final, you think back to the year, you're like, oh, that, you know, that was a good year. That was a really good year. I would like some done some things different. I think that's when you do it. Like I love to finish the draft the last day. And you think about the whole week of the draft and the week of free and just the whole year and how I don't want to complain, but it's just, it's a long year.
Oh, you know, yeah.
You're working again. It's a lot of early morning. Like, again, I am blessed and love what I do. So it's not a complaint, but it's just, it's a long year. You know, most people, you know, they get Saturdays or Sundays off, never off on Saturday. Never. You know, most people, many people 9 to 5 never have that, you know, like, you know, you're up early or you're up really late or you're working odd hours. But these jobs that we do, they're not traditional. So when you get to the end of something like that, I think you sit back and you take a breath and you feel like you're fortunate to get to work in this area while also getting to decompress at that moment, if you will.
So do you treat it like the first day of school? Do you have all your new outfits planned for this football season? Is that how it works?
Oh, true, but I got a lunchbox, a new lunchbox.
There you go. Right.
And my wife's gonna fill it with a thermos and, you know, hot chocolate and snacks. Yeah, we're gonna have a good lunch on the first day of the season.
I love it.
Adam, we always appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week. Enjoy the British Open.
Oh, you too. Adam Schefter joins us every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino. It's your premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. I'm going to be up there in a month. Cannot wait. Visit islandresortandcasino.com. Book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Jump on it.
Slow down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
One cool thing that also happened yesterday at the All-Star game. I just wanted to shout this out. Because they always, baseball's big thing is they want to, they have the charity Stand Up to Cancer. Like mm-hmm. That's what they're affiliated with, and they always do these things around that. So they, every player, you know, they had a moment. It was early in the game, you know, third inning, fourth. I can't remember specifically when it was. But then they, you know, every player and some people in the stands, if they want to, fill out just a card that says, I stand up to cancer, and then they put somebody's name on there. So Freddie Peralta, who was not participating in the game, but still went because he pitched on Sunday for the Brewers. Trevor Megill was his replacement, but he still went, and it was cool to see Megill and Miz and Freddie. Freddie put Uke's name down. So he was standing there on the baseline, stand up to cancer. Just a nice little honor of Bob.
I saw the coat.
Yeah, that was cool. Yep.
Whose was that?
On the inside, I think that was Trevor. I think that was Megill who had the on the inside had the little plaid with the just a bit outside, and then Uecker's signature because he wanted to have something for Uke, custom made into the jacket that he had for the red carpet for baseball.
Yeah, I thought that was a good looking coat too.
Yeah. Look, I mean, the way the Brewers have really, I think they've done a good job from the players to the organization of honoring Bob throughout the course of the year. And then coming up in August, I know, August 24th is the celebration of life for Bob at the ballpark.
Nice.
Part of that game. So just again, a nice little cool moment to honor Bob at the ballgame yesterday. So yeah, that's, you know, the Brewers got both their guys into the ball game. It was a fun game. Is there a better way, by the way, than settling a tie game with a home run off? Like I can't think of, like, if the basketball All-Star game ended in a tie, like doing a dunk contest or 3-point contest, not as cool. I don't even know what you could do in, like, the Pro Bowl, you know, field goals. Like, that's not as cool.
No.
Like, finishing with, hey, we're tied. You grab three guys, we grab three guys. Everybody gets three swings. Whoever has the most home runs wins. That's just a cool way to end an All-Star game.
I know everyone hates the shootouts in hockey or soccer, but deciding regular season games with a home run off would be electric.
But I will say this, because of this last year,
hockey has got the best All-Star game.
But they're not going to do that consistently.
Why? It was so good.
I just don't think that they're going to take that much time out of the regular season to do something. Maybe they do it every other year, but I don't think they're going to consistently.
I don't understand why the players loved it. The players played their guts out.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. Why wouldn't you do it again?
Also, next year, I believe, is Winter Olympics.
Oh, okay.
So they can't really, because they're already going to take a break for the Winter Olympics. Okay. So they can't do it every year. It might come back in 27. They haven't decided that yet. But with so many players wanting to play and represent them in the Winter Olympics, they're not going to.
Do you know what the payout was if you won?
No idea.
The National League won.
No idea.
I just wonder what the payout is, winners, losers.
I mean, I'm sure.
Because I've told a story, I think it was my last year that I went. The winners got 50, losers got 25, and Chris Chandler fumbled like twice at the end of the game, and we are up by like 10.
Yeah.
Guys were pissed.
players on the winning team receive a $25,000 bonus.
Oh, that's weak.
So the bonus pool is $80,000. Or $800,000. So then that gets split up and the winning team gets 25.
That seems a little light. Huh?
It's better than nothing.
Okay. I mean, it's better than nothing, but just saying, after tax, that's like, what, $13,000? That's what you make here in a show, for crying out loud.
I wish that was the case. Maybe I need you to have my agent, and then you can negotiate that rate for me. So many things we still want to dive into in hour number two. I do want to dive more into that Scottie Scheffler sound that we talked about with Adam Scheffler. Plus, who's going to break out for the Green Bay Packers this year? The Athletic made their pick. Who are our picks? Coming up, 2 minutes. Jen Gabby Chewy.